Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, checking on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. Fred, hi, how are you?
I'm a little bit harried from my trip home this evening, Carlos, but we made her. We're here. Hey, Rory McIlroy made a statement at the Wells Fargo. Champions Tour has a major championship this week. Another 18-year-old wins on the LPGA Tour. We got a lot to talk about, Carlos. Let's go!
We have a lot to talk about, and we have also very important guests of the week. We have two for you. One of them will be Devon Trueblood. He's the head pro at French Lick, which is the site of the Senior PGA Championship this weekend. And Steve Habel, he's the golf writer from Austin, Texas, with an Inside the Ropes preview for the Crowne Plaza Invitational. You don't want to miss that one. But we're going to go right away to what happened this past weekend on the weekend backspin, like you mentioned, Fred, at the Wells Fargo Championship. Hey, let me tell you this. On Saturday's third round, Rory McIlroy, he fired a record course record 11 under 61. He broke his own record of 62, set also the tournament's 54-hole scoring mark with his total of 18 under par, and all this while jumping to a 4-strokes clear of the field. Then on Sunday, all that he did was just put the finishing touches on what was a dominant win, closing with a 3-under. His total of 267 smashed Anthony Kim's tournament record score of 272. Kim set that mark in 2008. Patrick Rogers had climbed within 3 of McIlroy late in the round, but he dropped 3 strokes in the final 2 holes to end 7 back. Rogers, you know, he finished there tied at 2nd place. And let me mention for you this. He needs 10 more FedEx Cup points to earn special temporary membership, which would give him an unlimited sponsor exemptions for the remainder of the season. He was joined in 2nd place by Webb Simpson. Phil Mickelson, he was there near the top. You know, he was runner-up to Rory in 2010. He finished tied for 4th alongside Gary Woodland, Robert Streb, Jeff Ogilvie, and Justin Thomas. You know, Rory earned his first PGA Tour here at Quail Hollow in 2010. Now this one is his 11th Tour win. He has won by a combined 37 strokes in all those Tour wins. And with this win, he pushed his average advantage over world number 2 Jordan Spieth from 3.73 average points to 4.46, Fred.
Hey, you know, I think Rory listened to our show last week, and I think he drew some motivation from all of that new Big 3 talk.
Way to answer, huh?
He says, hey, boys, I don't know about this Big 3 stuff, but there's only one number one, and that's me. as you mentioned, he broke his own course record, 11 under par, 61 on Saturday. I was watching it down the end there. It was just absolutely phenomenal. He was just striping that driver, 340, carrying it 325 in the air, hitting 9 irons into those 500-yard par fours. Just absolutely amazing stuff. He just made it look so easy. Fairways and greens. He won by 7 shots, Carlos. Hey, then we had the Kings Mill Championship. Another 18-year-old wins on the LPGA Tour. Minji Lee, a protege of Cary Webb. You know, rains had delayed the play on Sunday. They had to go back out Monday morning, but as it was growing dark on Sunday evening, she posted three birdies and an eagle before she bogeyed number 16. She came out early Monday morning, carded 2 pars, won by 2 shots over So Young Ru. Rookie Allison Lee, who had held a 54-hole lead, finished 3rd. And then I don't know what's going on in Spain. James Morrison, who is from England, won the Open de España by 4 shots. He's the first Englishman to win the Spanish Open. 4 players finished tied for runner-up, including Miguel Angel Jimenez from Spain, who won 288 bottles of beer for a hole-in-one. Eduard Oespaña from France. How did he get the name Espana if he's from France? And Francesco Molinari from Italy, and another Englishman, all tied for runner-up. That's very confusing to me, Carlos. I can't keep them all straight. And then you're going to talk a little more about it, but Jeff Maggart broke through for his first ever major championship victory. It was his second win on the Champions Tour. He won the Mississippi Golf Classic last year, and he defeated Kevin Southern on the first hole of the Sudden Death Playoff to win.
I guess you covered everything. All I have to add to that is that, you know, Minji Lee jumped from 59th to 19th with that victory. So look out, the youth movement, it keeps coming. Last year we started tracking her as the world's top female amateur. Minji Lee is coming. She's number 19th. The Champions Tour, like you mentioned, well, all I have to add is that Maggard moved to the top of the Charles Schwab Cup standings with the win, and Sutherland sits second. So Morrison, his win by 4 shots is his second win on the European Tour. We'll have a year-to-date recap of the Web.com Tour later on the practice range, so I'll leave that recap for then. And that wraps up our our week in backspin. So we are going to go right now to our Par 5 news presented by United Golf Network. And hey, Fred, you're going to get a tee shot, and I believe you're going to be talking about Rory, something about missing the Memorial and what he's going to do heading to Europe.
Yeah, you know, Carlos, as I mentioned earlier, Rory definitely made a statement with that impressive win this week at the Wells Fargo. He also made another one the way he apologized to Jack Nicklaus for regrettably not being able to be in Columbus for the Memorial Tournament in 2 weeks. His new course record, minus 11 under par 61 on Saturday at Quail Hollow, produced that 7-shot win. And as I mentioned, you know, he kind of made a statement with that, and, you know, saying to Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, don't get too many big ideas about taking over number one, because it ain't going to be easy, boys. But he also made golf news when he announced he would not play in Nicklaus's Memorial. McIlroy is heading to Europe for the BMW PGA Championship, the premier event held solely on the European Tour. Even though a couple of other big names, Sergio, Ian Poulter, and Martin Keimer, have decided to skip the BMW PGA, Rory remains committed to supporting it, which is yet another class move by the young Irishman. Rory is the host of the Irish Open in 2 weeks and will devote a lot of energy to the festivities and media duties around that event. He has enticed some big names from the U.S., Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar, to fly over and have a go at Royal County Down. And I have to admit, Carlos, I can't wait to see the pictures from that iconic golf course. With his appearance last week in Charlotte, if he would have come back after the Irish Open back to Columbus and played, it would have been 4 consecutive weeks on both sides of the ocean. That's a lot to ask, even for an in-shape 26-year-old phenom, especially this close to the U.S. Open. But, like everything he does, McIlroy added a bit of class to his apology to Golden Bear. He sent a handwritten note stating his sincere regret at not being able to attend the memorial. Carlos, who in the hell sends handwritten notes? Nobody does that anymore. Send an email. Send a text. Hit them up on Facebook. But a handwritten note? I didn't even know they sold stamps for those anymore. Even the Golden Bear was taken aback at the civility shown by McIlroy. This just shows that Rory is a +6 at being a gentleman on and off the golf course, and is building up a lot of brownie points with golf fans around the world. And, Carlos, I guess you're going to talk a little bit about Adam Scott. We haven't seen Adam in the winner's circle lately, but he's making some news nonetheless.
He's making some news. I just want to add to the Rory thing. Definitely he's gaining not only brownie points with the fans, but with the players and the big names like Jack Nicklaus. I mean, what a class. He's just getting ahead of the class there with leading by example. So, great role model for golf, great to see the world's number one doing this. And, yeah, you know, Adam Scott hasn't been winning. He doesn't do a lot of talking. But when he does, hey, he talked. You know, and he says whatever he says, everybody listens. He's unusually opinionated, you know, but he was unusually opinionated this time when he criticized golf being in the Olympics. He added that winning an Olympic gold medal for golf is nothing he has ever aimed to achieve. What? Well, he said, and I'm going to quote, "Whether I win an Olympic gold medal or not is not going to define my career or change whatever I fulfill in my career. It's nothing I've ever aspired to do, and I don't think I ever will. It's all about the four majors, and that's the way it should stay for golf. To go and play an exhibition event down there to meet some athletes in the middle of the major season, I don't think any other athletes in their sport would do that." But he didn't stop there. He added, "I don't believe a lot of sports belong there. It's got away from where it started. Most of the athletes at the Olympics probably have trained 4 years specifically to peak at this one event. It's the pinnacle of their sport. They get one crack at their being big thing every 4 years. They have put their life on hold for this event, and it's so important to them, and I feel it's their time. Golf doesn't need to be in the Olympics." You know, most of us would agree with Scott on this one, right? And I'm guessing a lot of other professional golfers, not to mention a truckload of weekend hackers, tend to think the same way. The comments he made aren't really a surprise, as he has previously said he thinks the Olympic golf should be more for amateurs instead of the professionals. Interestingly, you know, the ABC reported that the three-time Olympic squash champion there from Australia, Nick Matthew, thought Adam Scott's comment was stupid and he should keep his mouth shut. Although Matthew's rebuttal only seemed to back up Scott's comments rather than contradict it, he said, and I'm going to quote, "It's a ridiculous comment. When you're a multi-billionaire, they don't care about the passion of the sport and an Olympic gold medal. So it's a bit of a stupid comment. If you think that, then keep it quiet, because many people would give their right ankle to be in that situation." Yeah, many amateur golfers would think that, for example. You know, golf Olympic exile stretched back to 1904. It's going to end next year in Rio. And while in principle that has been welcomed, the underlying message relates to a hectic summer and whether or not professional players in the men's game would really value a medal. Scott has suggested not. Australia's number 11 is hardly renowned for controversial comments, which he renders his sentiments as even more notable with this comment. And in my opinion, I would say, you know, it's a lack of the culture of the golfers. You know, when you grow up and start playing, it's more the individual accolades that really you're growing up. Like he said, you're caring about the majors. It's just a cultural thing among the golfers. It's not like any other of the sports that you really grow up aspiring to go, like he says, every 4 years practice and try to be at the top of it. So definitely, in my opinion, you know, Adam Scott, it's right and wrong to me. You know, it's right. Okay, he definitely is, I don't know. He's right in what he says, that it's just a cultural thing to me, Fred. Fred?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, I don't know what happened. The thing kicked me off, and I called back in, and so anyhow, I've kind of wondered about this myself, Carlos. You know, this Olympic thing. I don't know that I've been a big proponent of it, I'm kind of surprised nobody's kind of raised this before. But I know it's a big push for world golf. To get that presence out there, you know, but I don't know. I think they're doing a pretty good job anyhow, so, but anyway. Still hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you. You're still there.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to move on to the next news item. You know, we talked about Jack Nicklaus a minute ago with Rory sending him a note. And, you know, Nicklaus is at the stage of his career when he's receiving a lot of awards and honors for his golf career. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor earlier this year, and it was announced that the USGA will devote an entire room to Jack Nicklaus at the USGA Museum in Far Hills, New Jersey. That will be unveiled May the 27th, later this month. You know, Jack had one of the best records in USGA events of any player ever. Four of Nicklaus's 18 major championship victories came in U.S. Opens. He won the 1962 U.S. Open at Oakmont over Arnold Palmer, which was in his backyard. He won the 1967 U.S. Open at Baltusrol, again over Arnold. In 1972, he won at Pebble Beach, that memorable shot on 17 when he clanked that one iron off the flag and made birdie there. And then in 1980, he again won at Baltusrol. So in addition to that, he had two U.S. amateur wins in 1959 and 1961. So there are already galleries for Bobby Jones, Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, and Mickey Wright, with more than 80 artifacts on display in the 1,200-square-foot exhibit space located, as I said, in Far Hills, New Jersey. Nicklaus was quoted, "Kind of neat, isn't it? Take an old guy and honor him? I think that's pretty nice. It's pretty humbling and meaningful." The Golden Bear will be on hand for the dedication ceremony, and he's going to share some of his memorabilia from his museum in Columbus with the USGA. And, Carlos, the USGA also announced last week that it has received a record number of entries for the U.S. Women's Open to be held at Lancaster Country Club in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. 1,873 entries surpasses the previous mark of 1,702 set in 2014 for the Women's Open that was held at Pinehurst last year. It also marks the ninth time since 2004 that the championship has accepted a record number of entries. Among this year's totals are 96 fully exempt players, including 11 Women's Open champions like Christy Kerr, Sayre Pack, Paula Kramer, Kerry Webb, and defending champion Michelle Wee. They said the United States Golf Association is proud to again have accepted record entries for the U.S. Women's Open, which is an indicator of the growing strength of and interest in the women's game, said USGA Vice President Deanna Murphy. Carlos, these numbers are far short of the 14,000-plus that register for the men's U.S. Open each year, but the increasing trend is a very good sign of the growing interest in women's golf in the United States, I would say.
And definitely good news for the Golden Bear there, as you mentioned. Hey, and you're talking about the USGA, and they're leading a push to make the world's many handicapping systems uniform. And if it flies, it may affect your number stateside, Fred, so be careful and watch out. You know, say you meet a 12-handicap golfer from Australia on the first tee at St. Andrews there in Scotland, like you would do, right? If your U.S. handicap index also happens to be 12, you might suggest a friendly little money game with no strokes given. Hey, that's a bad move. You know, that's because Golf Australia, the sports governing body there, doesn't calculate handicaps the way that the U.S. Golf Association does. The formulas for handicapping also vary in Great Britain and Ireland, continental Europe, South Africa, and Argentina. You know, similarly, handicapped golfers from those regions won't necessarily be better players than their U.S. counterparts, but they might be. There's no way to know based simply on their index. In 3 or 4 years, well, things could be different. The USGA is leading an effort to get the world's 6 handicapping authorities on the same page. The U.S. handicap system, including the USGA's course rating and slope system, would be the basis for the proposed world handicap system, but it would incorporate the best elements from the other handicapping schemes, like they would say in Brazil, a valetudo. Among the likely changes the U.S. golfers would notice are daily adjustments to the handicap formula to reflect playing conditions. A 92 posted on a cold, rainy day with howling wind would count for more than a 92 shot in benign conditions. This initiative is the final piece in a long-term push for unified golf governance around the world. The last decade or so, the USGA and its governing partner, the RNA, which oversees the game everywhere but in the U.S. and Mexico, have pretty much consolidated the game in three other areas: the playing rules of golf, equipment regulations, and most recently the code of amateur status. Simultaneously, they are working on a rules simplification project that would have a similarly unifying impact. But hey, the USGA has overseen the handicapping in the U.S. for more than half a century, and that system is by far the most sophisticated in the world. In recent years, the roll of call of countries outside the USGA's jurisdiction that have voluntarily adopted this system has grown to more than 30, including Brazil, Japan, and China. The system's underlying course rating methodology necessarily doesn't fairly adjust shots on course of diverse difficulty, but it's used in more than 60 countries. Unlike the USGA, you know, the RNA doesn't function as a day-to-day national governing body, but has been involved with handicapping, and now, over time, those systems will be evolved to reflect local cultures. All those different systems will become one. So right now, mine will be like 20 shots more, I guess, Fred.
You get too many anyhow, man.
Yeah. Too many mulligans. No more.
Hey, Carlos, we have all seen the commercials on TV with, you know, the streamers coming down and confetti from the ceiling falling on the athletes after a big win. And the MVP of the big game is asked what he's going to do next, and they always say, I'm going to Disney World. Well, Ricky Fowler capped off his amazing finish and win at the Players' Championship 2 weeks ago by jetting down to the Bahamas and enjoying some downtime with his bikini model girlfriend, Alexis Randock. Randock posted an Instagram pic of the couple relaxing on a romantic dinner date. In the words, as she said, dinner on the beach in the Bahamas celebrating my man's huge win. Ricky, your hard work and perseverance shine through on Sunday for an epic win that will go down in history. I couldn't be more proud of you. Hashtag players champion, said Randock. Fowler's dramatic finish garnered one of the network's highest rating for the Players' Championship. It received NBC's third highest Sunday rating in the last 10 years. According to Nielsen, the rating was 3.9, up 60% from a year ago. The rating peaked at 6.0 from 7:30 to 8 p.m. when Fowler outlasted Sergio and Kevin Kisner in the three-hole playoff, followed by the one hole of sudden death. The only other final two rounds of the Players that have higher rating in the last decade were Tiger Woods winning in 2013 and Henrik Stenson winning in 2009. Ricky draws the fans. He wins the big check. He goes to the Bahamas and gets the girl. I want to be like Ricky. And Carlos, that wraps up the Par 5 News presented by the United Golf Network for May the 19th. And Carlos, United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn some money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories, are available through United Golf Network with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on products through their director's program. United Golf Network provides instant free access to Golf Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. And another free perk is membership to MyGolf in U.S., which offers discounted rounds of golf in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. And finally, For Sale by Owner allows you to sell used or new equipment online. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
I still don't know who that girlfriend is. I've never seen her. I'm going to have to watch. Alexis something, would you say the name?
Randock. If you Google it, you will see the girl in the bikini. That's her.
It's such a big deal. I don't know. I'll try to see it for someday. Don't worry. That wraps up.
I think you're just saying that because your wife's listening, I think, is what you're saying.
Let's just keep it between you and me. Nobody else.
Exactly.
Okay, let's just keep it that way. That wraps up the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have our VAGs of the week. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our very important guest of the week section. We have two for you. Let's start with the first one, and his name is J. Devin Trueblood. He's the head professional, PGA golf professional, at the Pete Dye course at French Lick. He has worked before at the Donald Ross course at French Lick in 2007. From there, he worked at the Valhalla Golf Club in a real special environment and also got to be a part of the 2008 Ryder Cup. You know, French Lick is the site of this week's 76th Senior PGA Championship, which is the second major on the Champions Tour season, and J. Devin Trueblood is the head PGA Golf Pro there, Fred.
Yeah, Carlos, we had the opportunity to go down to French Lick over the Easter weekend and take a look at the Pete Dye course. It was a little bit too cold that day to play it, but I did drive a cart around and look at the course, and I'm telling you what, it is a beast. These guys this week in the senior PGA are not going to tear it up, I guarantee it. It's a tough, tough walk. I don't care if they're riding carts. Just walking from the cart to the ball is going to be hard because it's really, really hilly. And there are some places that you absolutely do not want to hit it. Devin's going to talk a little bit about that. We talk a little bit about the senior PGA coming this week. So it was great talking to him, great meeting, great seeing the golf course in the French Lick Resort. So go ahead and play it, Carlos.
Today with Devin Trueblood, who is the head pro at the Dye course at French Lick in Indiana. And the senior PGA will be coming up here in towards the middle of May, and they were kind enough to invite us in and look at the course and talk a little bit. So, Devin, tell us a little bit about the Dye Club, how you happened to come here, and a little bit about the area.
Yeah, in April 2009, we opened up for that was our opening day. He came in. Pete had this vision of building a championship golf course up here, and originally he said when he looked at the property that it couldn't be done. And he slept on it the next day, calls our director of golf, and Steve Ferguson, and leaves him a voicemail at like 3 a.m. and says, you know, listen, I got a topography map of the 36 highest points. Those are your tees, those are your greens, and I'm going to build a golf course. So he was up here the next day, and this is what he got. Eliminated a lot of trees, and, yeah, we're really looking forward to the senior PGA coming as well. I think those players are really in for a treat, a little southern hospitality action that they may not get other places and locations that they go to. That's good.
As we come up here, we drive from the valley, you actually come up the mountain, and I understand this is like the highest point in Indiana, and so you get more of a feel of being in the mountains, almost like you're in the mountains of North Carolina here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're actually the second highest point in the state. Hoosier Hills in Richmond, believe it or not, which I always thought Richmond was flat, but that's actually the highest point in the state. But as far as visually standing up here and looking out, we like to sort of claim that we're the highest point in the state. But I went to school down in North Carolina, and when you drive up the top of the hill here, you know, it feels like in Asheville, North Carolina, especially in the fall when the leaves are starting to change. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, as we were driving up here, it was early morning, and so the fog and the clouds were kind of laying in the valley. It really was pretty. So When the seniors get here, now, as we're driving up here, and, of course, being up on top of the mountain, there's a tremendous amount of elevation change. You have, as you mentioned, he set the tees on the highest point. So you have a lot of elevated tees, and it is, a lot of elevation change throughout the course.
Yeah. But you really don't quite notice it when you're playing, just because everything's where we're sitting right now, everything is sort of built around us. Now, there's a few locations out there. They're a shot up to one green is about 95 feet from the lower fairway up to the green. It's a par 5 split fairway. So if you decide to go the lower route, you will have an elevated shot into that. But other than that, you know, you don't really notice it. It's a very enjoyable walk. You know, it's a little intimidating when you first look at it because you think, oh, there's no way that I could, you know, ever walk this. But seriously, you know, Pete Dye is 90 years old, and he likes to come out here and walk and carry his own bag. So
It looks like it would be a hard walk for me. But, you know, I have trouble walking around Augusta National. So, hey, but that being said, you said it is visually intimidating, which it is, sitting up here on top of the hill in the clubhouse looking. You can see probably, what, about 12 or 13, 14 of the holes from up here. But also you said this course is really made for women. Alice Dye had a lot of say in building this course, and there's zero force carries. So ladies can have a lot of fun playing this golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually don't have enough ladies that come up here and play. You know, as we were discussing earlier, when you first drive in, it's so visually intimidating. Ladies think, you know, there's no way I could ever play there. I wouldn't have any fun, and especially if they just glance at the scorecard and see the back tees are 8,100 yards. But you know, when you have six sets of tees and anywhere from 5,000 yards to 8,100, you can pretty much pick your poison. And Alice Dye did have a lot of influence, of course, as she always does with Pete's designs. And they made it where there's zero force carries. You can literally roll the ball all the way around and never lose a ball. So that's big. So if we have the chance to talk to women, we always let them know that. And, you know, we've never had any ladies come in and say, oh, that was brutal out there. You know, and actually, it was pretty fun. So, yeah, it's one thing that we continue to work on and get more ladies up here to continue to enjoy the game.
And along that line, I think 2 years ago, you actually started, you brought the legends of the LPGA tour in here, and they've held their event here a couple of years. In fact, the Legends Hall of Fame is down in the West Bowden Hotel, which is a kind of a cool thing to walk through when you come down here. So this really, and also Alice Dye hosts a tournament here for women also. So it really is a ladies-friendly golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. The Legends Tour Championship is here. Was here the past 2 years, and we're going to host it again this year. And it's such a great event. You know, I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical of it when we were first getting it because I was thinking, you know, we're getting a bunch of older ladies that are going to play golf here. Is that really going to draw a crowd? But to be honest, when you have somebody like a Laura Davies and a Julie Inkster and Meg Mallon and Lisa Lott Neumann,
Nancy Lopez,
yeah, when they're all up here and they're so appreciative to be playing here and the fans are real close to them and they're signing autographs and shaking hands, you don't know if they shot 65 or 85. It's just a really fun, neat event, and I'm a huge fan of it now.
You know, I spent some time at Pinehurst. I spent some time at the Greenbrier. You know, those places get a lot of publicity. But, people don't realize French Lick right here in southern Indiana, just, you know, a couple hours south of Indianapolis, has that kind of feel to me. And I don't think people really realize that.
You know, for us, the challenge is if we get them here, we win. There's no doubt about it. People still remember kind of the old French Lick before the renovation of both hotels and the new golf course and the renovation of the Donald Ross course as well. So they have in their mind that if you go to French Lick, it's going to look like something off The Shining. But seriously, if we get them here, we win. It's all about, throughout the whole resort, it's about customer service and it's about, you know, the southern hospitality that I mentioned before that we like to bring to each guest that comes here.
Yeah, this is my second trip to the area, and I've been taken by the beauty of it and how nice everything is. And we haven't even talked about the Donald Ross course, and we talked about the West Bowden Hotel, but then there's the other hotel also that with the casino and five-star quality service. And this is just really a really nice area and a great resort to come to.
Yeah, it really is. It's really laid back. You know, obviously we don't have any oceanfront property or anything like that. But, you know, it's a nice little getaway trip. We like to say we're in the middle of everywhere because if you look on a map in the Midwest, all your large cities, we're smack dab right in the middle, and it's not a hard drive to any of those large cities. And, you know, we're good for buddy trips coming to play some golf and
Ladies with the Spa.
Ladies with the Spa, Kids with Kids Fest, and also our nine-hole Valley Links course is very family-friendly down there. And we just started foot golf last year down there as well. So there's plenty to do around here. There's horseback riding. So it's a nice little getaway.
Well, I would really urge you, our listeners, to next time you're thinking about a buddy's trip or a golf trip, a couple's, you want to get away for a great couple's trip, the West Baden Hotel, the French Lick Hotel here of the properties, the golf courses are great, the Donald Ross, the Dye Course. Really would urge them to take a look at that and maybe stop here. Any last comments for our listeners, Devin, before we sign off?
Again, we're talking about the Senior PGA Championship. We're really looking forward to that. That'll be here before we know it, a little over 40 days left. So you can tune into TV and check that out. And I think the golf course will really show what we have to offer on TV for sure.
Well, again, we thank Devin Trubud, the head pro here at the Dye Course at French Lick, for taking a few minutes to talk to us. And if you get a chance, come down to French Lick, check out the area. Larry Bird's from here, so it must not be all too bad. So thank you, Devin.
Thank you.
Will Larry be there? Was he there when you went?
Larry is there from time to time. He has a place in the area, and he does hang out down there a little bit. I think, I don't know if he still has money in the facilities there, but he was a wealthy businessman from Indianapolis, put a group together to buy the West Baden Hotel and then the French Lick Resort, and they put in something like $300 million to renovate the hotels, upgrade them. They put in the casino. The West Baden Hotel, when it was built in 1902, was the eighth wonder of the world. It's really something to see. It has an eight-story open atrium rotunda. It's just, you could put like four tennis courts in there. I mean, it's gigantic, and it's beautiful. But Bird was one of the investors that put a bunch of money in when they went in there and did that. So, but yeah, he's pretty big in that area.
I haven't seen you were there, and you mean it's massive, it's big. I've seen the pictures of it, and what you said about the pros, the seniors, the champions that are playing there today, this week, that they're not going to, you know, tear it up. I mean, I don't think they tear it up any course, but being that big, you know, it's going to be a very challenging course and a very interesting to see who's going to come out on top on the 76th Senior PGA Championship that is going to be played this week there in Hillside, Indiana, at the French Lick in the Dye Course. Well, that was the first interview that we had this week, and we have a second one. It's with Steve Habel. And Steve, he's a sports beat writer for Horns Illustrated magazine, which covers the University of Texas athletics. He's based in Austin, Texas, but also travels the world as a golf writer. And this weekend, he's our man inside the ropes at the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. So, Fred, how about this interview?
Yeah, I got to meet Steve a couple weeks ago when I was down there on the Alabama trip, and he has played Colonial several times. He's from the Texas area, knows all about Texas golf, and so I called him up the other day and said, "Hey, you want to give us the inside dope on Colonial?" And he says, "Absolutely." So he's our man inside the ropes this week.
We are talking with Steve Habel, who is a sports and travel writer based in Austin, Texas, and he's our man on the inside of the ropes this week at the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. Thanks for having me on.
What's going on down there this week? Big doings in Fort Worth at Colonial, the circus that calls itself the PGA Tours in town.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great couple of weeks down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's not two finer tournaments on the tour back-to-back than the Colonial, or now the Crown Plaza Invitational, and then the Byron Nelson, or the HP Byron Nelson, as they call it now. A lot of tradition in the Texas swing, a lot of respect for the guys who really made that tournament famous, Mr. Hogan at at Colonial, of course, and Byron Nelson at his course, you know, used to be the Dallas Open, now it's the Byron Nelson. So, you know, the anticipation is high, especially with the fact that we have such good participation from the Texas golfers, including young Mr. Speed. So I know he's put a lot of pressure on himself to play well in this little stretch, and it'll be interesting to see how he comes out with that.
Yeah, Rory kind of made a statement last week at the Wells Fargo. Some of us media types were writing that maybe there's a new big three in golf with Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. But Rory says, hold on, boys. There's really only number one here. Everybody else is kind of playing for second place.
Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, Rory is nothing but full of confidence. I mean, after the way he played this past weekend, you could probably see why. But he, Spieth is a fine golfer. He's a lot younger than Rory McIlroy. He's only 21, so he has done something that McIlroy hasn't, which is win a Masters championship. So I think that it's fair to say Spieth and McIlroy and Fowler in the same sentence. I don't know if you'd have to put periods between that or commas or dashes or whatever, but that's all three really good golfers.
Adam Scott, the defending champion this week, he won last year down at Colonial. He's been pretty quiet this year. Do you look for him to do something? What's the kind of golfer? Who do we look for this week? Who's the favorites? If you're picking fantasy golfers, who would you like this week?
Well, you know, Colonial is a shot maker's course, and it's really tight. It's long. I mean, you would think that a long course, Colonial is not as long as some, but it's about 7,300 yards from the back tee there. You really got to hit a ball where you want to hit it, and there's a lot of holes that you can't hit driver on, and because of the swales and the irrigation that runs through and the pecans, so it favors a good ball striker. So that saying, Adam Scott was striking the ball pretty darn well last year about this time, not necessarily this year. But guys like Zach Johnson, even guys like Rory Sabatini, who's been striking the ball so well and is a member at Colonial, is always a good guy to watch. A guy that I always think that is ready to break out in a tournament like Colonial is a guy like Jerry Kelly. Jerry Kelly hits his irons better than anybody that you'll ever see if you follow him around the golf course. He can really, really hit some iron shots. And if he gets hot with a putter, then he'll be a factor this week. Guys like Boo Weekly, who won 2 years ago, got hot with a putter, and if you can do that at Colonial, then you can be successful. So somebody, a guy that you would think is a top 25 player, Zach Johnson or something like that would have a chance to keep it in play. And then, it's just somebody who gets hot. Colonial is a tough, tough track, a lot tougher than people think it is. And it's a grind to get around there. It really is. It's something you got to think about. The weather, we've talked about the weather in Texas has been so dry the last couple, 3 years, but they've had a lot of rain. We've had a lot of rain in Texas, in Central Texas especially, but up in the Metroplex over the past couple weeks, it's been very rainy. I actually played the Colonial about a month ago in the media tournament, and it was in the best shape that I'd ever seen it at that point prior to the tournament. So I think they'll be fine. It's going to be a great time to watch them go around there.
Yeah, you've got 9 of the top 30 players in the official world golf rankings in the field, along with Jordan Spieth and Adam Scott. You got Jimmy Walker, he's a Texas guy. Is he a guy that can play well there? Patrick Reed, Kevin Na, Chris Kirk, Zach Johnson, you mentioned the past winner, Lou Oosthuizen, and Ryan Palmer, another Texas guy.
Yeah, Ryan Palmer usually plays well at Colonial. I don't know, some of those guys are more bomb and gouge players. I think I'd always look at Patrick Reed as being a bomb and gouge player, but he can hit some iron shots. There's no doubt about that. And this tournament does not really favor a bomb and gouge type guy. I mean, it just doesn't. There's no real dog leg to take the ball over, except for maybe a couple of holes there. And it's a position course. I don't really think necessarily that the course sets up well for Jordan Spieth this week. I think that he will have he'll have more success next week at the Byron Nelson. It's a bigger shoulder course. You have a chance to miss a little bit more there. Don't be surprised if somebody like David Toms. I mean, David Toms loves Colonial. He always seems to play well there. you know, you would think that the game has almost passed him by now. He's getting pretty close to Champions Tour age, but he loves Colonial, and he always plays well there. So that's a name you got to throw in the mix too, I think.
Well, listen, we want to thank you, Steve, for coming on the show, taking your time. I know you're traveling, doing some stuff, and busy this week with the tournament, and we really appreciate you taking a few minutes to come and talk to us.
It's been my pleasure talking to you, Fred. Thanks.
There you have it. That was Steve Havel, golf writer, Fox, Austin, Texas, there with an Inside the Ropes preview of the Crown Plaza Invitational. And he mentioned there that, you know, Colonial has been known for being tight, having many dog legs, so positional play has always been key there. So definitely one thing that in the past 6 years I've noticed is that nobody that has entered the 54-hole lead has won. But the previous 7 years, it was a 54-hole leader who won. So give or take, it's going to be a good surprise. But I think that Jordan Spieth has a great chance to win there in his hometown.
Yeah, I disagree with Steve also on that. I think this golf course could set up well for Jordan, and you know he wants to make a statement right back at Rory. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, if he won right away again with, you know, with Fowler and the players and then Rory, and if Jordan could join back in, man, this would really be something. But, yeah, this Texas win could be kind of cool. You know, Rory's going to be playing over in Europe, so he's not going to be in Texas. Jordan's in Texas. Rory's going to be over in Europe along with Ricky. So, you know, it's they're all going to be playing, but they're going to be in different places. It should be pretty interesting. Carlos, are you there? Until I hear different, I'm going to assume that I am still...
I am here.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're back. Okay.
Got it. We're here.
Okay. All right, good. So we are through the interviews. We're ready for the topic. Did you want to go to a break?
Yes, let's take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk right away about the Web.com Tour. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Every week, Fred and I pick a topic, take our own shots at it, and give our own insight and analysis about it. And this week is the turn for the Web.com Tour. What's going on? What's happened so far? What's left in players to watch? So we're going to start right away, you know, talking about this. Beginning in the 2013, the Web.com Tour, it became the path to the PGA Tour by awarding all 50 cards for the following PGA Tour season. So you see all these players grinding it out for 25 tournaments, and that includes the four tournament final series, and trying to get those 50 spots for the next year. So the top 25 during the year are the ones that are automatically qualify. So that's the key number that everybody's trying to get there. And what's happened so far this year, there has been 9 tournaments. In the first one, Matthew Gauguin won the season opening Panama Claro Championship by 4 strokes. That is his second victory at this tournament, 5th on the Web.com Tour. On the second tournament, which was the Pacific Rubiales Colombia Championship, was Patrick Rodgers, who birdied the second playoff hole and defeated Steve Marino there. It's his first win, pro win. And like I mentioned, he's been playing also on the PGA Tour, and he's just 10 points away on the PGA Tour for a special sponsor exemption. So he's looking, I think, more into the PGA Tour than here at the Web.com Tour. The third tournament, Andrew Landry closed well to win the Cartagena de Indias at Caribana Championship by 5 strokes. also his first Web Dunk Com Tour title, but this wasn't just his sixth start on the tour, so that came early for Andrew Landry, his first win. Peter Malnati, which is right now the number one player in the 25 in this tour, used a big finish to win by four shots at the Brazil Champions. This was his second win on the Web.com Tour. His first one was on the 2013 New Sentinel Open. Dowie van der Walt, he was the winner of the Chile Classic by two strokes. This was his first victory in this tour. He has won twice on the Solentian Tour, twice on the European Tour. And here in this tournament, it's worth noting that the Latin America Amateur Champion winner, Matias Dominguez, he finished tied for 30th. He went on to play the Masters after that. Kelly Kraft came from six strokes behind, the fourth best in tournament history, to win the Chitimacha Louisiana Open by one shot. He won there by rallying from six behind, doing three straight birdies from the 15 to win by one. It was his first Web.com Tour in his 50th start. Wes Roach won by four at the El Bosque Mexico Championship, his first Web.com Tour win. Smiley Kaufman cruised his way to win his first Web.com Tour title. He won by five at the United Leasing Championship. He missed out on the tournament record by only one shot. And this past weekend, Rod Pampling won the BMW Charity Pro-Am by two strokes over Kelly Kraft. He missed the tournament scoring record by two shots. He owns two PGA Tour wins and a European Tour title. Worth mentioning in this tournament is Ron Thatcher. He had a 12-foot putt for a 59 there at Thornblade Club, and, you know, he hit it well, but it ran out of gas as it was reaching the hole, and it blew left. What? Short for 59? No way. That's like, you know, everybody's been saying, like, you're pitching for a no-hitter in the ninth, two outs, two strikes, and somebody hits an infield hit. Oh, my God. He hits 60 to set a new course record. He shared the old record of 61 with Keegan Bradley. So, you know, that's what's going on so far. The leader of the 25, like I mentioned, is Peter Malnati right now. Number two is Kelly Kraft with that finish. Wes Roach third. Patton Kizzire fourth. Patrick Rogers five. Smiley Kaufman six. Andrew Landry, Rod Pampling, Dowie van der Walt, and Kevin Tway round up the top ten, Fred.
Yeah, you know, Carlos, the big story to me on the Web.com Tour this year is that there's a lot of names there that you just have not heard of. Matt Goggin, Kelly Kraft, and former U.S. amateur champion. Well, Kelly Kraft was a former U.S. amateur champion. And Patrick Rogers, who just finished runner-up at the Wells Fargo on the PGA Tour. You know, those are names you know. But, you know, Rod Pampling, who won. But, man, there's a lot of new names and a lot of guys. You know, you just ran down the top 10 on the top 25. You know, the 25 is important because that's who's going to get tour cards from the regular season. And then they give 25 more cards from the four final tournaments in the final series. But so everybody's watching this money list. And, you know, Malnati, yeah, he's been around for a little bit, you know, played a few events on the PGA Tour. Wes Roach, the same thing. But Patton Kizzire, Smiley Kaufman, Andrew Landry, Dowie van der Walt, yeah, I guess I'd heard his name. But, you know, Kevin Tway, Bob Tway's son, but that's really the only reason I know him, and he was a standout at Oklahoma State. But there's going to be a lot of new names on the PGA Tour last year. What's left? You know, you've got, as you mentioned, there's 25 events. So you've got the 21 regular tour events, which average around $600,000. Dollars purse. So, you know, for a guy to win, he gets about $100,000 on a regular tour event of those 21, and it takes about $320,000, $350,000, something like that, to be among the leaders at the end of the regular season. But in the four tournaments that make up the Web.com Tour Finals, which are the Hotel Fitness in Fort Wayne, the Chiquita Classic in Davidson, North Carolina, the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship in Columbus, Ohio, and the Web.com Tour Championship on the Valley Course at TPC Sawgrass. Those purses all go to $1 million. Now, only the top 75 from the Web.com, and then the 75 that didn't make the tour, the FedEx Cup playoffs on the PGA Tour, so numbers 126 through 175, or those guys, or I'm sorry, through 200, those guys join the Web.com Tour, the 75, and make 150 players for the final series, and then they're playing for $1 million purses. So, but again, Carlos, I don't know. You know, we haven't talked much about the Web.com this year, and there just hasn't been a lot of familiar names winning down there. In the past, we've had a lot of guys that were down there from the PGA Tour. You know, I see Steve Marino is down at number 13. D.H. Lee, who's been up on the tour a little bit, he's clear down at 15. I guess there's some guys, but, man, as I look down through there, you just don't see the veterans that you saw before. You're seeing a lot more younger guys. We're seeing the youth moving on the ladies' tour. We're seeing younger guys doing better on the PGA Tour. I don't know if that's giving these guys impetus to do better at a younger age or what, but it sure seems to be a youth movement to me, Carlos, and especially even here on the Web.com Tour.
Now, players to watch. I'm just going to give you one name. To me, is look at that. I always look at this time of the year on the Web.com Tour. Of course, you win one, you're already in the top 25 early in the season and as you go on. But who has been there that hasn't won? That's Patton Kizzire. He's number 4. So he's not exactly a rookie in the world professional golf. He graduated from Auburn in 2008 and played various mini tours for a few years. But, this is his rookie season on this tour. He's also 29. He's not young, but, hey, he had a solid collegiate career. Highlight was his individual title at the 2007 SEC. He won it at Seaside Course on Sea Island. And, hey, he's been steadily climbing in his last three top tens, and consistency is very good here. So you may not know who Kizzire is now, but you will soon remember that name, Patton Kizzire, number 4 right now. Also, look out for some players down the road. Right now, they're not doing great, but I think they're going to do good. And it's Lexi's brother, Curtis. He's number 49, the 22-year-old brother of Lexi Thompson. He was the standout at LSU. And Oliver Goss, the 21-year-old Australian, former Tennessee Volunteer. He was a great amateur, and look out for him. Any names you would like to mention about it?
Carlos, the only one that really sticks out to me is the guy that's at number 2 right now is Kelly Kraft. Kelly had a great amateur career. He won the U.S. Amateur one year. He started out a little bit rough this year. He missed a cut in 3 of his first 4 events. But the last 5 events, he's only missed 1 cut, and he's had 2 top tens. He won in Louisiana, and he was runner-up last week at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. I think, he might be turning on here at the right time. He's getting old enough now. This is his second year of being a pro, something like that. So, he has a pedigree. I really look for him to do well. So I guess if I have to hang my hat on somebody to watch, I'm going to pick him, Carlos.
Sign the bells. Kelly Kraft versus Patton Kizzire. That's our picks. Well, Back Niners, that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. It was always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us for the past hour. Special thanks to our VIGs of the week, J. Devon Trueblood and Steve Habel. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Block Talk Radio. Also, through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Twitter ID is at @BackNineReport. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.